This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Tisha Uyik in the studio here with me today. Now on to our second story, also a little bit about dread.
Yeah, speaking of that, it's the dread that you feel over the weekend before you have to come back to work on Monday. So we asked you on Twitter, do you suffer from what's actually also known as the Sunday scaries? So just a little over 70% of you say yes, and about 28% of you said no. So keep those votes coming in at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So yes, whatever you name you give it, you know, the Sunday scaries is also known as the Sunday blues, the dread. It's this feeling is pretty much the same. You know, it's a sort of creeping sensation of low-grade dread and anxiety, you know, that kind of looms on the evening before you return to the weekly grind.
Yes.
And well, I mean, this is not exactly clinical diagnosis, but the Sunday scaries is a very, well, alliterative term given for this late weekend malaise. And it has risen to prominence in the past decade or so. Mm. And, you know, it's a pretty common affliction too. In a September 2018 LinkedIn survey, 80% of professionals reported experiencing the Sunday scaries.
So what is it that gets us so down about going back to work? Dr. Suzanne Cooperman, a neuropsychologist and a psychoanalyst at NYU, says the Sunday scaries or blues can be the byproduct of the anticipation of the week ahead. According to her, it's an anticipatory anxiety, not the stress in the moment, but the anticipation of what will come. And that's what puts people in this fight or flight mode. And Dr. Cooperman added that there's a physiological component as well, because the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidneys and they release adrenaline and cortisol, two hormones, which then floods the system, and you have actually a very real stress reaction and it feels like real anxiety.
Yeah, and in an article in The Atlantic, Jonathan Abramovich, he's a clinical psychologist and a professor at the University of North Carolina. So he described this feeling as, you know, basically the same thing, whatever you want to call it, anxiety, worry, stress or fear. Mm-hmm. And according to him, psychologically, it's a response to the perception of some sort of threat. So similar to what Dr. Suzanne said, mm-hmm. The perceived threat varies, though. It might be getting up early or being busy and switched on for several days in a row. But the commonality is that we jump to conclusions and underestimate our own ability to cope. Mm. So for most people, he reckons the stress of Sunday is uncomfortable, but ultimately manageable, and they end up coping just fine. And just as with other forms of anxiety, some people don't feel the Sunday scaries at all.
Mm, yeah, like about almost 30% of our poll right here. So Andrea Peterson, author of On Edge, which is a memoir about her own struggles with anxiety, she identifies with work-related anxiety and its effect on her. So she believes that work is one of our major stressors and anxiety. If we were to define it, it's the anticipation of pain, in fact. So she concludes that if you're talking about anxiety in the workplace, it could be the anticipation that you're not going to be able to accomplish everything that week, or that you're going to mess up somehow. Sounds very familiar.
I think that's the reason we wanted to do this story.
The worst thing to do on the Sunday is to look at your calendar for the week ahead.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes. I don't know which is worse, looking at it or coming in on Monday.
And then looking at it, that's true.
I don't know. But, you know, in that same article in The Atlantic that we were talking about, author Joe Pinsker said, he also spoke to Anne Helen Peterson, who is a senior culture writer at BuzzFeed and the author of a book called Can't Even, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. Mm-hmm. So it has a lot to do with this. Peterson said that she doesn't think that there's anything that's timeless about the Sunday scaries. She spoke of how burnout and the anxiety that accompanies it are so much about living under our current iteration of capitalism, and it's also about class insecurity. So according to her, from roughly the end of World War II to 1970, a period that's often called the golden age of American capitalism, she says that there were tons of jobs that weren't great, but the difference was that people were more secure in their class position. Now it's this huge combination of not only how am I going to do in my job, but all these other things that we're also anxious about. So, you know, like if I lose my job, then how am I going to have medical insurance and so forth?
Absolutely. Your mortgages and things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So the article also spoke about how the nature of work has changed. And in line with that, you know, and this goes some way toward explaining the need to make weekends both productive and relaxing. You know, workers need to both get stuff done and also make sure that they have, you know, they are sufficiently recharged to get more stuff done during the coming week. There's just no rest involved in this. But the point is, you know, how can we get rid of the Sunday scaries? I mean, some proposed cures for this unease range from the micro to the macro. Some people interviewed for the article dealt with it by, say, strategically scheduling movies, museum visits and walks in the park at that around the time when the scaries typically set in. Another person actually cross-stitches and takes baths to keep the scaries at bay.
The psychology professor, Jonathan Abramovich, who was also interviewed in this article, says that the most reliable way to banish the Sunday scaries, especially if they have escalated to the point of being debilitating, is to practice cognitive behavioral therapy. So that's a means of revising mental and behavioral patterns that can be learned, you know, from a therapist perhaps, or even an app or a workbook. Mm-hmm. So in the short term, though, he said that things like exercising, taking a walk, or doing any sort of activity, like, you know, the kind of things that you mentioned earlier as well, mm-hmm. Xiaoyi, that you really enjoy on a Sunday can take your mind off the scaries, albeit temporarily.
Temporarily. You know, Anne Helen Peterson's solution points out that, you know, it's only probably a very small part of the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And her solution, unfortunately, is less easy to take on. She says, fix capitalism. According to her, we need to get rid of the conditions that are creating precarity. And that refers to the fact that much of the world's population lacks stable work and steady incomes. And says that people wouldn't think that universal healthcare has anything to do with the Sunday scaries, but it absolutely does. And so even if you do create a slightly different Sunday routine, it's not going to change the massive structural problems that caused this feeling in the first place.
That's intense, huh? Yes, you think about it. And it's you, like you said just now, you know, like you're preparing tasks to prepare yourself for the task coming up.
That's right.
And then you need to prepare tasks to calm yourself down to do the task. It's really quite. So anyway, I wanted to get some advice on this. So earlier today, I got in touch with clinical psychologist Vizila Kumarisen to get her thoughts on the Sunday scaries. And I started off by asking her what she thinks contributes to one getting the Sunday scaries.
Well, I think, you know, having experienced it myself when I was at school and at different points of the different work I've been doing, I think it's a sense of dread that, you know, the next few days is just going to be a focus on something else and that I'm going to feel exhausted and spent and pretty much stressed and anxious. Mm. And I think that's what a lot of people feel. You know, when the Sunday blues or whatever it is, Sunday creepies or whatever it is hits them, that, you know, the next few days is just going to be a bit more chaotic than what they may be ready or able to do.
Yeah. And, you know, in the article, they said that you almost have to shrink who you are a little bit so to fit into that mold of your job description. And the weekend, by contrast, you know, that's just, you know, you being you lah. There's no shrinking required. I mean, is that also something that's part of this?
I suppose, because, you know, when we can, most of us are in our own spaces. We can make decisions for ourselves. We have a lot more agency, whether or not we want to go out, whether or not we don't want to, whether we want to stay in our pajamas the whole day, whether we want to eat, you know, chips spread out of the bag or whatever it is. You know, we can do all that. But then when you have to be at work, you actually have to curtail all these elements, because you are in an environment that is not yours. You are in an environment that is not in your control, but it is very controlling. Mm-hmm. And you almost have to give up quite a bit of agency, you know, in order to be able to be in these environments. And they take up so much of our day.
Yeah. And what are some of the red flags that this feeling is more than just feeling, you know, that it's really a serious problem, perhaps even a debilitating problem for somebody?
I think, you know, like a lot of other things, when it starts to affect your ability to function, mm-hmm. You know, like when I was in school, it will be like I suddenly develop, you know, a crippling stomachache that mm-hmm. prevents me from getting out of bed. Mm-hmm. You know, that was when I was a kid. And then when I was an adult, it was, I really don't want to go to work today and I don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, and it can also be like physical signs, like severe headaches, severe body aches, those kinds of things. Anything that actually starts to affect your ability to function.
Right. You know, whatever we want to call it, anxiety, worry, stress, whatever, you know, psychologically, it's basically a response to the perception of some sort of threat, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And if we keep feeling like that every week, I mean, you know, even if let's say we love our jobs or at least like it, you know, we're in a good kind of relationship with it, will that tend to, you know, lead to impacting our mental health in the long run? You know, will it lead to burnout, for example?
Yeah, I mean, it will impact both mental health and physical health because what it is, it's a stress response. Mm-hmm. And stress responses, you know, activate our fight or flight, you know, sort of response in our bodies. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that places a lot of stress on our adrenal system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's responsible for regulating things like our immune systems, our endocrine systems, you know, a whole bunch of other systems. So this does have a long-term impact on mental health in terms of long-term stress, which can then develop into depression or anxiety. It can also, you know, lead to very poor coping mechanisms, whether it is, you know, bad eating habits, smoking, consuming alcohol, even consuming drugs. And a whole host of other unhealthy, unhelpful behaviors that we might utilize, thinking that that's the, you know, that's a coping mechanism.
Right. Is there any way we can turn all of those, I mean, I guess just to alleviate this sort of dread and anxiety? I mean, if we can't banish them altogether, is there some way we can at least try to cope with it?
Well, I think at some point you'll have to learn how to cope with it in order to get on with your job. It's harder when you actually like your job. And then, you know, but I suppose the best way I can think of in terms of capitalizing on this is to focus on the feelings and think about them and think about why you're feeling what you're feeling, trying to identify what exactly about your job, what exactly about your workplace, you know, what exactly about your situation is leading you to cause to have these feelings. Can you do something about them, about the situations? And if you can, what are these? And if you can't, you know, sort of meditating on them to think about what more can you do, or what is it that needs to be done differently in order for you to at least, I don't know if you can banish it completely, but at least to reduce it.
Okay, so I guess, is there a way we can turn all of these feelings into something positive then? I mean, okay, let's say there's only one negative aspect that is making us feel that dread, right? Is there a way we can sort of like focus on making that positive?
I don't know. I'm not going to say lie to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, how do you think about it more constructively?
Mm-hmm.
That's the best thing I can think of.
Okay. All right. And, you know, just going back to the article that we're talking about, you know, it cited one way to get rid of this feeling, and that is to fix capitalism, because, you know, one of the potential system-wide changes that was researched in this article is that a switch to a 4-day work week would actually help, because you just have that one extra day and it just somehow makes things so much easier to cope with. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on these kinds of things, but I also think that capitalism cannot be fixed. Capitalism is inherently exploitative and oppressive. So I don't think it can be fixed. Shifting to a 4-day week, yes, it's something that has been discussed and examined a lot and has worked in different parts of the world. But I also think that, you know, there is merit in returning agency to people, letting people decide how they want to work, when they want to work, and how much they want to work.
Mm-hmm.
Shifting the goals from actually, you know, being in the office from 9 to 5, instead of that, to, you know, focusing on output.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you do the work, but it's about getting the work done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that way you give people a lot more autonomy to make decisions for themselves, and they don't have to be stuck within a system that is so oppressive.
Right. So I guess just to explore different ways and methods of how to deal with this. And also, I suppose, maybe talking to your employer as well, that might actually help, you know, to sort of come to some sort of middle ground.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, when I talked about thinking about why you're feeling what you're feeling and identifying what you can do about it, it's definitely not something you have to or you must do alone or can do alone. It is about talking to your colleagues. It is about speaking to your employers. It is about addressing issues in the workplace, policy-wise, system-wise, that need to be changed.
So that was clinical psychologist Vizla Gumarasan sharing her thoughts on the Sunday scaries. I think that's an affliction that both you and I have.
Definitely. And we've talked about this even before we came across this article.
Yeah.
We were just sharing about how we start feeling this low-grade anxiety by the time Sunday rolls around. For some of us, it's, you know, Saturday night.
Yes.
You know?
Shall we?
And I mean, the nature of the work as well, because we have to stay on top of news and current affairs and whatever's happening nationally and internationally. So we can't afford to switch off our phones and not check emails and just switch off.
Yeah.
You can't even switch off from social media because many of us are getting our news through social media.
Exactly.
And so you're actually constantly thinking about work. I know for me, when I'm reading through news sites and things like that, I'm always just thinking about how will I be able to apply this in work, and then what do I need to do to line that up and make it happen? And then, oh my gosh, the floodgates just open.
Exactly. And I guess that's the nature of our job. But, you know, then it comes to affect our relationships, I suppose, as well. You know, you go out maybe with your family on a Sunday. For me, for example, out with my family on a Sunday evening, I'm not enjoying myself because I'm thinking I have to do this by tomorrow morning. I got to get up at this time, sort this out. And that anxiety just, it's quite overwhelming.
It is.
And then in the end, I don't enjoy myself. And I start, you know, just, I guess it starts affecting your family as well, because they see that you're anxious and
distracted.
Distracted, and, not in the moment. I've had my four-year-old ask me, why are you always working?
I know. Yeah, yes. And I'm always sending messages to prepare for what's coming.
Yes.
To line up the guests that we speak to and things like that. And yes, the same thing. My son has started, you know, sort of taking on that lingo, you know, because I'll always tell him, I need to send a message to somebody at work. And these days, he's actually started saying to me, can I send you a message to tell you something?
Oh, no.
It breaks my heart, actually, because what kind of examples are we setting for our kids?
A good example in terms of work ethic, but perhaps not the best in terms of personal
communication.
Communication, yeah.
And if you think about school, I remember feeling some sort of Sunday scaries when I was in school as well. Just Monday, school starts, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn to get ahead. And I think, actually, our whole system is broken.
So we've got to fix capitalism, fix the school system.
We were asking on our Twitter poll, do you suffer from these Sunday scaries? Still pretty much looking the same. About 71% say yes, 28% said no. That's my full name tweeted to say, I know of a number of people who have anxiety attacks just about going into the office, and they will be bracing themselves in the toilet or in the car for up to an hour. And so that's my full name says, you should check on your colleagues, ask them how they are, and really listen. Never ever brush off their anxieties or ask them to snap out of it.
Yeah.
Very good point. Thank you for that. That's my full name.
So I know it may be easier said than done, but putting anxious feelings aside and perhaps into perspective can probably help you better enjoy your day. Maybe keep that in mind, you know, that what you do during the week allows you to enjoy your weekends in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I guess try and find some sort of balance or talk to you, like what Vizla said, you know, talk to your employers, talk to your colleagues, find a way that you can sort of mitigate those feelings or at least, you know, not feel so much anxiety over them.
Yeah. And, you know, what some of the suggestions that we listed earlier, where you actually carve out time to do something that you know will not have you thinking about work and things that you enjoy, do it at the time when you know the Sunday scaries typically
yes.
set in, and maybe you can somehow force your mind away from the anxieties.
Yeah. So what I've started doing is that at a certain time on a Sunday, I will get all the stuff I need to do done so that I can enjoy the rest of the evening.
Yes, you know, that's a good point.
Kind of chill out a little bit. But that's all the time we have for today's show. You know, if you'd like to drop us a message, you can always look us up at BFM The Bigger Picture. You can always continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us your thoughts via WhatsApp. Just send that to 018-789-8899. And if you miss any part of today's show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for us on the BFM app or look us up on Spotify. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.